Job verse, anybody want to guess which chapter?
23.
That's it. 23. I want to talk to you about tonight about, more about debt, obviously, but I want to talk to you about how much you want to pay the debt. How committed you are to pay the debt. So we're going to talk about Eliphaz first. Remember who Eliphaz is? One of the guys that's the friend of Job, allegedly, and he's
full of shit.
Full of shit. Well, that's what we're going to study right here. We are now in Job 22, verse 21, and Eliphaz is talking. Eli, baby.
Talk to me.
Talk to me. And Job has lost everything. He's got sores and boils in his body. His wife is dead. His sons are dead. Everything is dead. All his wealth is gone. He has nothing. And he hurts.
Real bad.
He hurts a lot. And everything is wrong and nothing is right and nobody loves him.
He's going to eat worms and die.
And he's just terrible.
Nobody understands him.
All right. And he's real sincere. Everybody got the picture? In pops Ellie baby. Eliphaz is going to come and give him some stuff. Okay, this is now Eliphaz speaking to Job. Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee.
God better.
Does that sound like good advice? But it's horseshit. It's the see what Job is. I mean, what Eliphaz is doing now is hear Job say some stuff a long time ago. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart.
This is Eliphaz.
This is Eliphaz. Huh? Yeah, this is what it is. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacle. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver too. Don't you love this? You know, do you realize how many sermons are preached on these verses as though they were the right thing to do?
I don't understand, sir.
God is, I mean, he's just laying it out there. If you lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks, yea, yes, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver too.
And what's
it? And a new
car.
For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Now notice the advice. He's a strong believer, saying all the right words. He delights in the Lord. What's wrong with this picture?
Reality.
Well, it's also it's bad theology, because it doesn't. Well, let's watch. Then thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear you. And you shall pay your vows. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. Now, how? Isn't that kind of neat? You shall decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. But it's predicated upon you pay your vows. Then, cause and effect.
I just got a real sick feeling.
I know, because you believe it.
Sure,
that's right. That's what we're going to talk about.
That's really weird.
When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands. It's all bullshit.
If anything goes wrong, you got a problem.
It's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. And this is what this program on Tuesday night's about. It's about what happens from the beginning of the church until now, when this heresy that Harry believes in, that's, by the way, that's where it came from. Heresy,
heresy.
Is named after Harry.
Harry, see?
But this, the thing about this little exchange, is this is what all men believe. From the beginning of time until now, you go through a process. If you say that there is God, you understand that God wants you to be wealthy and happy and successful. Okay, you do all the right thing. You pray your prayer. Nothing happens. So at that point, you either say God doesn't exist, or you say there's secret sin in your life, or the preacher does. When that doesn't work, then there's demon oppression. It's the only excuse why you're not rich and happy and healthy. And then when that doesn't work, there's demon possession. Now that's where Tilton has gone, from success theology to demon possession. Everything, there's a demon. You're going to see the most unbelievable footage Tuesday night about the fruit of this success theology. Decree a thing that should be done unto you. Pray a prayer. Pay your vow. It shall be done unto you. Now, how many of you believe that? How many of you believe that if you pay your debts, pay your debt vow, understand? If you pay your debt, then you'll be happy. Everybody does. Some of you believe it more than others. Now, let's go look and see what God said to Eliphaz about this.
I never read verse 30. I mean, I never read any of this, but verse 30 really presents
problems. Yeah, he shall deliver the island of the innocent, and it is delivered by the pureness of thine hands.
There's a problem.
So, I don't know about you. Now, so we have to come. All right, now let's go to 42. Job 42. Now, let's see, first of all, Job, we're going to go back 23 in a minute and see Job's answer to that bullshit, but I want to first see what God said about Eliphaz. Verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord turned and said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. He didn't say, you have not spoken to me the thing that is right. You have not spoken of me the thing that is right. You have not defined me. You have not said who I am. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that you have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Now, let's go back to Job 23. Remember what Jesus said in the garden? Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour came I unto the world. for this test, for this moment. And that's the moment that you must say every single time you have an awareness of yourself. Father, my soul is troubled. Otherwise, I wouldn't have an awareness of myself. I've been brought inward. Why do I have an awareness of myself? Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me? No. For this test or for this hour came I into the world. And a secret happens. The moment you say that, you lose self-consciousness. And it's never anybody else that has done something to you. All of a sudden, slowly but surely, you're transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you see that the battle is here, not external. Never has anything to do with anybody else. Understand that a little bit? Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Shall I go talk to the person that's troubling me? Well, if you can't get rid of it, you do. But rather, Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour came I into the world. Period. Anybody understand? Now Job says, and Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute or debate with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. What's he saying? He's saying what's happening to him. He's not sugarcoating it. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And he hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. It actually says more than my necessary portion of anything. The F word was never again in his vocabulary. My necessary portion is my fair portion. What's fair? Now watch. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Pay attention. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. He does it. He performs it. He appoints it. I rest. Now let's look and see what Job said. Finally, go back to 42. Verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. What he's saying is, remember what it said in chapter 23? I can debate with him. Remember what I've told you so often? It's these two words, rebellion and obey, that just drive believers wild. First of all, they think that rebellion is saying no. And second, they think obey is to be able to do all these things. Those two words don't mean that either in Greek or in Hebrew. To rebel means to say outwardly or act outwardly like you're one way, but in your mind you're doing something different. That's rebellion. It's what the Levites cannot understand. They cannot get it through their head, ever. That I don't care if they tell me no. Harry, I want you to do this. No. Okay. But what I cannot abide and what I cannot stand and what I will blast to kingdom come is to say, oh yeah, I'll be right there, Oli. And inside or outwardly to other people, that son of a bitch, what does he expect of me? Now, that's rebellion of the first order. That's the kind for which you will be wiped off the face of the earth by the living God. But if you simply say no, God says, okay. Because if somebody can say no to you, then they can exhort you. Do you understand? If somebody cannot say no to you, then they are worthless to you. And they are worthless to God because they can never be in fellowship. If you can't say no to God, then you cannot be in fellowship with God by definition. Everybody see that clearly? Anybody have any response?
I said no the other day for 2 hours. The thought came, would go through my head if you were going to call back and kick my ass. But you didn't.
See, I mean, our relationship is supposed to be just a type. I'm nothing. I'm a pussycat. But if you do that to me, what are you doing to God?
I know what you're saying.
But really, to see God like that, which I've always done, I mean, those are two diametrically opposing positions. How can I worship, love Him, see Him as my covering, so on and so forth?
I can't say no.
If I'm in that position, right. I mean, there's just, I can't get there from there.
I'm lost. I mean, so I had it and then I lost it.
Okay. God wants you to be you. Just all he wants of you is to be you totally. And the example was, the only thing I could think of at the time was the relationship of Harry and I. Harry, if I ask him to do something, always says, oh yes, I'll be right there. I'll do it, yes. Yes, 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 yes. But while he's saying yes, his mind is going crazy. That son of a bitch, what right does he have?
Okay, I understand that, but what's that have to do with your relationship with God?
That is what, if that means God, what God wants is the same thing I want from Harry. I want Harry, if I ask him to do something, for him to say no if he doesn't want to do it.
It really is, it's a matter of walking either in murmuring or in agreement.
It's like this thing we've talked about so often about that, you know, if God came down and you knew it was God speaking and you said, Tylene, just smack Laura in the jaw. Smack her right now. And you knew it was God speaking, you probably would smack Laura. But God doesn't want you to smack Laura because he told you to. God wants you to smack Laura without him telling you to, because you know that that's what he wants. Because she's been such a naughty little girl. But whatever it is, whatever the thing is, he wants you to have, if it's not in you to say yes, he wants you to say no. It's the same, and it's related, it's the same thing in a relationship with man and wife, and it's probably more clear there. If the man says...
it just seems strange to me to talk about now.
Well...
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. I know what you're saying is true, but the idea of saying no, to me, you get shot for saying no.
Well,
I love that parable. I don't remember where it is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament where someone, either an arm keeper or whatever, asks someone to do something, and one of them right away says no, but then conceded and says, well, you know, yeah, I'll do it. And the other one says, yeah, I'll do it, and the whole time is going, God damn.
And never
you know. But it was like, it was a lie. I mean, the fact that...
But can you see the freedom in being able to say no to God? That's what he wants you to do.
Sometimes. I have this image that all believers are supposed to be like Abraham. And God says, go sacrifice your son upon the hill. He didn't doubt it. He didn't. It
took him 130 years before he did that.
130?
130.
No way.
I thought he got up the next day and found him and ran to the mountain. No.
No. He said no 100 times. He made 100 mistakes, said no 1,000 times before he got to that point. Okay, now, here I beseech thee. Same place I just left. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. To abhor yourself and to repent, you've turned from yourself. You're no longer the subject of the sentence.
Doesn't it mean that it's not really me that's, I'm not up against God. I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's all him and seeing what is him and what isn't him? Does that make sense?
Well, what it means is, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. It means he saw Jesus.
Yeah, that's where it all makes sense. That's where I can tie it in. It's not me, it's Christ.
Right.
It's Christ saying no.
Right. And it's also, where I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Remember what it says, that all things have put in subjection under him? But we do not yet see all things in subjection under him, but we see Jesus. And so every place where we don't see that he's in full authority, full complete control, we look to the offerings, which is our picture of Jesus, and we see that everything is taken care of, so we can be at rest. Until we finally apprehend him as all and in all. We don't even have to look at the offerings anymore because we see him everywhere.
So you're saying that Job obviously,
he saw the offerings. He saw Christ.
He saw the offerings, and so he saw what the Messiah.
He saw Messiah.
What, would be or
right.
Is.
Yes, he looked through. By his suffering, he saw through the veil of time.
So that he was just this flesh thing that was getting tossed, being tested.
Right. So the point of it is here is that. Back in chapter 23, let's head back there. Head back to 23. And I want you just to sort of dwell for a moment on verse 14. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. You know, there we go. I'm troubled at his presence. When I consider, I'm afraid of him. But by that, then he explains it. For God maketh my heart soft. That's what he wants from us. But
there's a third component here. We've got God, right, his spirit, and then the spirit in Christ, right, as the Messiah. And then we've got the spirit of Christ, the Messiah, in his bride. So there, it's all of the same thing, but it's not exactly the same thing. So the spirit that's in me does not act, you know, as Christ. I'm not the position of Christ.
No, that's where
the.
Yeah, but the issue always gets confusing, and this is where this, like the Kenneth Copelands of the world, get hung up. It's when they hear that it's, you know, all of the thing about Christ, then they say, well, I'm like Christ, and so I can decree a thing, I can. And what they forget is that as he is in the world, so are we. As he was in the world, he was in a moment, he constantly emptied himself. He never, ever, ever tried to keep himself or fill himself up. And in that emptying, that's the model for the bride.
So if you're in yourself, you can't say no to God. I was looking at this as seeing myself in it.
No.
If I read my name and put myself in it, that's why I didn't get it.
But you understand that's why what God wants, where it says it was not good for man to be alone, I'll make for him a helpmeet. In order for the bride, he wasn't talking about us, I mean, the only us is a parable, male, female here, but he was talking about Christ and the bride. In order for the bride to be a companion antagonist, she's got to be able to debate with God.
And so for Job to see in this moment that he is a companion to something, I mean, that he isn't inferior, he isn't, it's not a positional thing, it's that he is a part of something, and what he's a part of is, you know, fits exactly like it's supposed to.
Right. So he's at rest.
Because he didn't have a Christ model. I mean, he didn't like.
He had just as much as we do.
Well, I mean, he didn't like have the. I mean, he didn't have like a little book, the new book.
And just as much exactly as we do. He saw through the veil of time and saw Christ.
Just different mechanisms.
Same thing. The only purpose of the New Testament is that we might see through the veil of time. If we see him as a model, then we'll do this thing that Eliphaz did. In other words, the gospel was preached as much unto Job and unto Abraham and unto all the people in the Old Testament as it was to us. Can you understand that? The Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. That's how, when we start thinking that there's different ways that God dealt with people, that's when we get into dispensationalism, and then you can ignore, you can say, well, that was for them. Okay, let's go to 1 Kings, chapter 6. Solomon is building the temple. In fact, he's just completed the temple. Bride never sees herself. The bride only sees Christ.
It's like I can keep my eyes fixed. I understand keep my eyes fixed on him, but I know I can't be him. I know that.
You're not supposed to be him.
You know.
You're only supposed to be.
I mean, I know that I'm not him. I'm not supposed to be like him, but it's like I know that I am of from him. But I also know that it's okay to not to be different, but to be not even to be separate, but there's like something that's.
Well, but what's there is even the debate about what it is you're supposed to be. Once you get into that realm, then there's nothing there but death. You can't, I mean, he has no form nor comeliness that when men should see him, we should desire him. There's no model for us. There's no model. So it's not that, I mean, because that contradicts what you said, contradicts Scripture. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that like him, the word there, is the same word in the beginning, of the image and likeness of God. We were created in the image and likeness. Image is the Hebrew word tselem, which means the hand. It's a glove is the image or the tselem of a hand. But the word likeness is of exactly the same stuff. So when Christ was transfigured, he was then in the likeness of God. He was made in the image of God, but he was also then in the likeness because of the transfiguration. He'd completed the course. When we are caught up in the air, which if we see it's finished, we see that we already are caught up in the air, then we see ourselves in the likeness of God, Christ, and us. We're of the same stuff.
One spirit.
He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit.
But what about the bride as an antagonist? Christ doesn't want an antagonist?
You just be.
That's where the debate and the freedom comes in.
Right. That's the only way you can fulfill your office as a member of the bride. Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. is for you to be free. You have to see yourself perfected or perfect in Christ. Then you see that, then you're free to fit into the body of Christ. If you are in the moment, in the mode of self-consciousness, you can't fit. By definition, a self-conscious member of a body has cancer. It's not that you're worrying about changing this or that. It's worrying about being conscious of self at all.
Because you can't picture it.
There's no modeling. It's not supposed to be. 1 Kings. Solomon's just built a house. In verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to Solomon, saying, concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou will walk in it, he just finished it, but God says it's in building. And the word build means to understand, remember? The word build means to understand. So here, the house of God is building, in building. It means it's in understanding, and as we understand it, then it's built. Understand? That's why faith is never blind. Faith and understanding are synonymous. Concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou will walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, well, that shit, that lets me out.
Yeah.
Unless I know it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. That is my only hope. But if I take a look at myself, I have no hope. The only time the scriptures exhort you to look inward is to say, examine yourself, prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. If you don't know it, to be reprobate means you're incapable of repentance.
And so how you know that Christ, that you have faith, that when you examine yourself as whether it's finished or not?
You examine yourself, prove that you're in the faith. Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you. If you don't know, if you feel like you lack something, then you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. Understand that? If you feel like something about you must be different, then you don't know that Jesus Christ is in you. By definition, if you know he's in you, he is the desired one. He is the desire of all men's heart. If you don't know he's there, you'll want to be different. Therefore, you will be incapable of repentance. Therefore, you will be reprobate. Oh, but my stuff is sincere. I really want to be different so I can please God. Well, so did Eliphaz. Your sincerity is full of shit. Are you beginning to understand? Your desire to pay your debts and your vows is that which is keeping you in bondage. The desire to be fair has you tied to the world. Why would anybody want to do that? Because you desire to be tied to the world. Why would you desire to be tied to the world? Why would you desire to be in debt? So you can continue to live in the illusion of self deity and control. And the pond is getting smaller and smaller, the room is getting littler and littler, yet you are in control of your world. And pretty soon, it'll go all the way to Alzheimer's. You won't even remember your name, but you're in control. Self-deity is the greatest motivator in the universe. And concerning this house which thou art in building, if thou walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk in them, then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And what did he speak unto David? Anybody know?
Yes, that one about if you'll turn and pray toward this house or whatever it is, then I will hear, and he says it over and over.
That the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. Second Kings, I mean 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. That doesn't mean anything to you, but what it means is that Messiah is always present. All right, let's look at another one. I'm going to give you a bunch of scriptures that you, we don't have time. Well, let's take time. Go to Psalm 57.
57?
Psalm 5, 7. 57. Verse 1, Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yes, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. Pretty neat. God that performeth all things. It takes his God stuff to a new dimension, doesn't it? It's only a deity. It's only the chief executive that can put the entity in debt. In other words, Trinity Foundation, Harry can't obligate the foundation. This entity. Barbara can't. John Rutledge can't. Gary can't. The way our bylaws are stated, I am the only one that can put the foundation into debt. Now, can you understand? The only way that you can put yourself into debt is to see yourself as deity, is to see yourself as chief executive.
So understand? One time God had to see himself in debt.
Because only the moment that he took on the debt of the whole world.
Yeah, but wait. What you just said. I mean, what you just said makes sense, except this debt's been around a long time. This debt was here when I arrived, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the way, the only reason. You bought into it.
Yeah.
Because you wanted to be the chief executive. You willingly, gladly took it over. I will perform it.
It's underdog.
It's hairy person guy. Well, do I ever make fun of everybody?
Do you do anything else?
Huh? Which would, Laura, have I ever made fun of you? Right, never mind. Not very often. I'm Psalm 138. No, did we finish?
Yeah.
We finished, because it was just the perform business. Yeah. That's what we're concentrating on.
Yeah.
Performance. Any of you have performance anxiety?
Okay, stage first.
What?
You gotta get on stage first. I don't even have a ticket. The performance is much less part of that.
Do you understand that there's some of you that have never been out of performance anxiety? There's some of us that have never been out of performance anxiety. And get all the silver too. Only men. It's a male, it's a guy stuff. It's a guy thing.
There are other things that are girl things.
You've never been out of performance anxiety? Psalm 138. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. And that'll really piss them off. How do you sing praise unto God? One of the ways you sing praises unto God is to make fun of the gods. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredest me, and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in their ways, in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. Thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will complete, is what perfect means. The Lord will complete that which concerneth me. Can you hear that? The Lord will complete that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thine own hands. I want you to just concentrate. He will perform that which he has appointed for me. You have to live by that. That means in order for him to do that, he has to have paid off your already existing debts. And you got to hear that. You don't have any more debts. You don't have a debt to anything but to love one another. And that isn't a debt. That's the expression of him. You don't have any images to fulfill. You don't have to have any definitions to complete. You don't have to have any emotions to satisfy. Can you feel for a moment the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, awe-inspiring is thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day the bread of eternity, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not inward under any condition, but to the contrary, deliver us from this evil one. For thine is the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Can you see that prayer is the gospel? But it's the gospel in a way, it's so deep, so all-including, it'll take us an eternity to understand it. And again, that's why this inheritance, the fruit of receiving the inheritance, of recognizing the inheritance, is ecstasy. And intimacy. With no effort. With no rules.
Psalm 20, when we read Psalm 20, 38, it was a big sign to me that
Testament.
I think I've got a little bit of an inkling of why in the past you have told me stop, you can't do anything, you have to go over here and stay at the machines, you can't do anything. I think I'm starting to understand why.
Good.
And I think I'm starting to understand the thing about your work is the gift of God, as opposed to some series of debts that you have to.
I hate the word work. Stupid work. What I mean, I'm serious. What I do isn't work, except when I'm dealing with Harry. Thank God I have the good Levite Barbara. Okay, take a big guy.